It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the rainy, nasty, yucky, and wet Friday edition of Overtime as we say hello to the end of the week. Another big win for the New York Knicks in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tragedy strikes the sports world, particularly the auto racing world, with the loss of Kyle Busch at the age of just 41 years old yesterday afternoon. And so much more on the docket on this Friday, May 22nd edition of Overtime. We talk USF softball. Hour number one, head coach Tommy Downs recapping year number one on the job, where he's going to go from here, offseason priorities, transfer portal and recruiting ideology, and so much more with the soon-to-be second-year head coach of USF Cougar softball, Tommy Downs, in hour number one. We conclude the first hour with the latest news and nuggets from the NBA, the NHL, where we saw a massive upset in game one last night and a lopsided final as Montreal says we are here in the Eastern Conference Finals with a 6-2 victory in Raleigh over the previously undefeated in the postseason Hurricanes until last night. Tell you how to react to that, look at the odds and more at the end of the hour. Then we dive into a very winnable and very lucrative edition of the High Noon Showdown, where you can beat up your neighbor to win a prize pack, which today includes a 4-pack of Minnesota Twins tickets and more. Then we're talking Denver Broncos with the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, Sayer Bettinger. He'll join us at 12:20. And we'll round out and wrap up the show today with the NFL news of the day. Lot to get to there, as well as the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we will spend some time on the passing of 41-year-old, a living legend of sorts in the NASCAR world, Kyle Busch, gone way too soon, one of the more accomplished NASCAR drivers. And make no mistake about it, was not everyone's cup of tea. And it's rare that you hear people describe somebody that way on the day in which they pass away or the day following they pass away. But that's generally speaking, a lot of the reaction out here, people saying, you know, I didn't like Kyle Busch. I wasn't a big fan of him, but man, will I miss that guy? Man, will I miss watching him race. He was one heck of a unique person, and a tragedy striking the world of NASCAR. The second notable driver to pass away in the last year in a tragic way, as Greg Biffle and his family passed away in a plane crash in recent memory. And Kyle Busch, a relatively short but very serious illness, 41 years old, gone way too soon. As of yesterday afternoon, Kyle Busch, we will spend a lot of time on his life and legacy in the good, the bad, and the ugly at the end of today's show. We'll start out the scorecard talking NBA basketball. Saw another lopsided game two last night. The New York Knicks find every single ounce that they can in that win. 109-93, a 2-0 lead in the series. Karl Anthony Towns, an inspired performance, 18 points, 13 rebounds. Josh Hart stole the show, 26 and 7 assists. Here is Alan Hahn of ESPN New York, notably feeling pretty darn confident about this team after two games.
They were a good team this year, really good team. They had a top three offense, but this is different. And every game that goes by, you keep seeing something else about them that just keeps giving off a vibe of there's some team of destiny thing happening here with this group. And now it's reached that point, two games away from the NBA Finals, where it just feels like, all right, this has to get there now, right? You don't want to see the story end soon. Two wins to go, it definitely feels like this is the closest they've been in a long time. It's obviously 26 years.
And that's Alan Hahn of ESPN New York. He's not alone there. Brian Windhorst saying this might be one of the best New York Knicks teams ever.
This is a powerhouse team. This is an all-time great Knicks team. They're 10-2 in the playoffs. Both losses are by a point. They came down to the final possession. They have routinely beat teams, as you can see by the 212 number, by double digits. In the last series, Karl Towns was their offensive hub. This series, the matchup's called different. They just shift to Brunson, and he's powering them through. Last night, 14 assists. The Cavs threw a certain defense at them in game one. Okay, Josh Hart's not hitting shots. Plug it in. Go to the small lineup. Bam. Last night, Josh Hart's making shots. Wham. This is what championship-level teams do. They hit you with different things. They handle different teams. They beat the snot out of the opposition. That's what the Knicks are doing. You don't assume anything, but this is a team. People talk about 1994, and they just get a certain look in their eyes, okay? If you're a man or a woman, but most of men of a certain age around here, they start thinking about John Starks. They start thinking about Charles Oakley and those guys.
Anthony Mason.
You're one of the men of a certain age.
I have a shaved NYC
That's
in my
what
hair.
People are going to be about like this team. Whether they win the championship or not, people are going to have a special representation memory of 2026. We're watching it unfold right now.
So everybody's got something very nice to say about the New York Knicks today, leading 2-0, winning both games on their home floor. Game 3 set for Saturday, 7 o'clock on ABC. Let's talk a little bit deeper about New York and what's going on the other sideline. That would be Coach Kenny Atkinson of the Cavaliers. Evan Cohen, not too kind with this assessment.
Kenny Atkinson is getting exposed. He is. Destroyed by Mike Brown. Do something different. You're double teaming Jalen Brunson. Okay, he's crushing you on that. You try a little bit of a zone. Jalen Brunson had some great post passes to Mikal Bridges late in the game that I thought were just so smart. Do something. This is going nowhere. What is happening to this team? I thought their roster was pretty damn good. I think if you look up and down the roster, well, there's some depth there. They have done nothing to switch anything up. I'm serious. Start a damn fight. I'm not saying to hurt anybody. Do something.
Do something. The imploring there of Evan Cohen to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're down 0-2 in the series. It sets up game 3 again Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ABC. Game 3 in the West tonight from San Antonio. Thunder and the Spurs collide 7:30 on NBC. That series tied game apiece, and San Antonio a very slim favorite. 1.5 points the spread tonight in the Western Conference Finals. Speaking of the offseason, what's ahead? Maybe the Cavaliers are soon heading into their offseason. The LeBron James and Lakers courtship. What's the latest there? And what should the Lakers be doing right now? Here's Brian Windhorst on the latest there.
He can do whatever. If he wants to wait until the day before the season starts, and there will be teams lined up to sign him. But if he wants to get a big dollar contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, he's going to have about a month. Because the Lakers have cap space, but he sits on their books at $58 million. That's the way the rules work in the NBA. And to give you a free agent, he sits on your books until you sign him for whatever his new number is, whether it's $58 million or it's $20 million or it's $10 million, or you renounce him and say, we're giving up your rights, goodbye. The Lakers cannot sit around and wait until mid-August to do something with that $58 million. And this is not like Aaron Rodgers, where you can sit for 6 months and then sign for $25 million. The NBA does not work like that. The Lakers have to make decisions. So really what I think it's more incumbent on the Lakers to have a plan to bring to LeBron. If they want to resign him, I don't want to assume anything.
Kind of a plan.
They need to come to LeBron and say, LeBron, here's what we want to offer and why. It's not just about the actual dollars.
Of course.
It's about the respect that you want to show and to say, listen, if we want you to take a pay cut to whatever it's going to be,
why?
This is what we're going to do with the money.
That is the latest and greatest on the offseason storyline. One of many, of course, Giannis, probably the leader in the clubhouse. LeBron, a 1A to Giannis's 1B in the offseason pecking order right now. That's all for the NBA for now. Over to the NHL, where we saw a massive upset last night in game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Carolina entered as a minus 200 favorite on the puck line, and Montreal leaves game 1 in Raleigh with a 6-2 final. Head coach of the Canadiens, Marty St. Louis, talking about what his team has been able to accomplish on the road this postseason.
I don't think it's one thing. You know, I feel like we're probably a little confidence from how the season went for us on the road, you know. So I think we believe that we, you know, and we know you don't get the matchup sometimes on the road, and you got to trust that the guys can just, like I always say, play the game that's in front of them, understanding who's on the other side, who's on the ice while that's happening. And we, as much as, you know, players, young players, they love to have these offensive touches. And I think sometimes it's just not what the game's giving you right now. You got to defend. And I think our defensive game has evolved and improved, you know, over the last few years. I think that's allowing us to be a good road team.
Montreal, a great road victory last night, 6-2 the final on the Carolina Hurricanes side. Here is head coach Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah, obviously it was not our best.
they made some nice plays. You give them credit. They finished. They made, but I didn't think we were very sharp, to put it bluntly. Our top guys had a tough night, and that's not going to work this time of the year. So chalk it up. You know, I think I think we just tossed this game, to be honest. I hate that this time of year. That's what we got to do. But there wasn't much to really grab onto there. And I think you get behind early like that. It's just it's tough. But we clearly were not ready for that pace. And that's, you know, I'm not going to give the layoff as an excuse, but we weren't ready to play playoff hockey. And that caught us.
That's Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour. They went down 4-1 after one, and the Canadiens slammed the door in the third period with a 2-0 scoring margin. Tonight in the NHL, it is game number 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden Knights visiting the Avalanche again in Denver. 7 o'clock on ESPN. The Colorado Avalanche minus 205 on the puck line. And Saturday, Canadiens and Canes do it again from Raleigh. 6 o'clock on TNT. Montreal, of course, leading 1-0. Carolina, an even bigger favorite in game 2 now, minus 220. Tonight is the resumption of the Clark Cup Finals. Sioux Falls Stampede looking to hoist the cup for the fourth time in franchise history. They need one more win. Game 3 tonight from Muskegon, Michigan against the Lumberjacks. 6:10 start time. Stay up to date. Follow along. SFStampede.com. Major League Baseball. Cleveland beat Detroit yesterday 3-1. Guardians stay white hot at 30-22. Tigers, not good. 20-31, the new record there. Pittsburgh beat St. Louis 6-2, and the Rockies lose out in the desert against the D-backs 2-1. Colorado is who we thought they were at 19-32. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Astros and Cubbies from Wrigley, 120 on Apple TV. Guardians at Phillies, Cardinals at Reds, Twins and the Red Sox open it up at Fenway, 5:30 pregame, 6:10 the official start time. Other matchups on the way, Tigers at Orioles, Dodgers at Brewers, Royals host the Mariners, Rockies at Diamondbacks, 8:40, White Sox and the Giants, the nightcap from San Francisco at 9:15. Let's dive into the NASCAR world. Your race coming up this weekend is at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and it was announced yesterday early on that Kyle Busch would not be participating as he was dealing with a serious illness at that time. And yesterday afternoon, we got the absolutely startling, tragic news that Kyle Busch passed away yesterday afternoon at the age of just 41 years old. Two guys that know a lot and follow in deeply to the world of NASCAR, Marty and McGee. We'll hear from Ryan McGee first on the life and legacy of Kyle Busch, gone way too soon at the age of 41 just yesterday.
It's winter. It's 63 wins in the Cup Series, in the big leagues, right, which is ninth all time. Just above him is Dale Earnhardt Sr. is 102 wins in the next tier, kind of the AAA baseball tier. That's first all time, and it's almost double what anyone else has. And then just a week ago, you know, he won this last win that he was talking about, which was his 69th win in the Truck Series. It's 234 wins across three national series. And what most folks don't know, unless you're just a hardcore race fan, is he also raced during the week. And he still raced in these super lower level short track races just to do it. His son Brexton is a short track racer. And so he'd go watch Brexton race his karts, and then he'd go jump in a car and race too. And so to me, it's just winter. As long as I've been doing this, which is 30 years, I was there for the beginning of his career, and unfortunately I was there for the end. And to me, it's just winter. And that's the goal of every race car driver, is to have as more trophies than anyone else. And that's exactly what he did.
And that's Ryan McGee. Now from Marty Smith, the legacy of Kyle Busch and how the race community and sport is responding.
I'm still trying to be able to properly articulate it, and I think Denny Hamlin did it very well last night on social media. Denny was Kyle's teammate at Joe Gibbs Racing for many years, and he said, "We've lost our Kobe Bryant." And I think that, for fans of your show, probably does a good job of just trying to say well the gravity of this.
And again, you talk about life and legacy and loss in this way in the sports world. That is, it's a comparison. Kobe Bryant obviously was retired at the time of his passing, but a legacy, a winner that big. And again, a lot of people in this neck of the woods might not be the biggest race fans, but losing somebody in the midst of a Hall of Fame career, ninth all time in wins, the leader in wins in the subdivision level, race trucks, raced in the old school Busch series, that lower level, and then also was one of the preeminent and premier drivers on the NASCAR circuit. We'll spend a lot of time on Kyle Busch later in the show, but rest in peace, gone way too soon yesterday, tragically, at the age of just 41. Let's get into the NFL schedule here on the scorecard. NFL news of the day, Matthew Stafford signing a one-year extension for a massive amount of money yesterday. What does this mean for the future of the Rams after they just spent a first-round pick on Ty Simpson out of Alabama?
We just want to make sure that you're happy because we know what we did didn't maximize your window to contend for a title before you retire. That's what this is about to me. This is less than you say, hey, Matt, you're coming off of, Matthew, you're coming off of an MVP year. We're planning for the future. We're going to use one of the two first-round picks that we entered the offseason with on trading for an all-pro corner. But then we're also going to use one of those first-round picks on a quarterback of the future, neither of which directly helps you. So we're going to make you feel better about that approach by giving you $60
million. So $60 million for Matthew Stafford, and I don't know why anybody, there's a couple people out there that are like, why would they do that? They just drafted Ty Simpson. Well, Matthew Stafford is the reigning MVP. He's a guy that has earned a long runway. However long he wants to keep playing for the Rams is good business for L.A. because he's a rock-solid player, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, been that way for a long time, and certainly has earned those chops. And in addition to that, Ty Simpson's not ready to play. Nobody thinks Ty Simpson's a plug-and-play dude. You got Stafford for one more year, maybe additional after that. This is a win all the way around. Keep him happy, maybe extend him beyond that. And last time I checked, oh, yeah, this model, the Packers model that people scrutinize and scream bloody murder about when it goes down on draft day. Oh, my gosh, how are they going to keep Aaron Rodgers happy? Oh, my goodness, what's going on with Brett Favre? And now Jordan Love got to sit and learn for 3 years. And is it the worst thing in the world if the Rams let Ty Simpson sit for 1, 2, or 3 years while Matthew Stafford still concludes a tremendous NFL career in front of him? I don't think that's a bad deal at all. We'll respond to that and get you the latest numbers on that deal later on in today's show. And rounding out the scorecard, D1 softball, a rain-impacted game yesterday, very early on for Nebraska and Oklahoma State. Game one will resume at 4 o'clock this afternoon in Lincoln. Game two, Saturday at 4. Game three, if necessary, still to be determined whether it'll be played Saturday night or Sunday sometime during the day. D1 baseball, SDSU Jackrabbits are white hot, and they do it again yesterday with a 2-1 win against Northern Colorado, which means for the second Summit League tournament title in program history. They played for the title quite often, but the Jackrabbits are playing for the Summit League title Saturday against the winner of Northern Colorado and Oral Roberts. That game today at 3, Saturday's game 1. They'll have two opportunities if they need them for the Jackrabbits. Saturday game 1 will be 1 o'clock. Full details at gojacks.com. And lastly on the scorecard, D2 baseball, Augie lost in the opener to Central Missouri yesterday 6-1. So today, back against the wall at 3 o'clock. And then if they win that Saturday, 1 o'clock, that's the projected start time. Follow along at GoAugie.com. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. South Dakota men's basketball coach Eric Peterson is not done adding to the roster, announcing the addition of Brandon Dompsch to the upcoming season roster. The 6'7" forward transfers in from North Platte Community College and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. The Broomfield Colorado native appeared in 26 games, made 6 starts for the Knights last year, averaged 4 points and 3 rebounds per game, shot 49% from the floor. Welcome to Vermilion, Brandon Dompsch, the latest addition to the Yote men's basketball roster. And a reminder, game one of the NCAA Super Regional from Lincoln will resume today at 4 o'clock Central Time. The game suspended yesterday due to inclement weather in the bottom of the first inning with the score at nothing. Only game one and all session tickets will be valid for the game resumption today. There will not be a game played after game one is completed. Game two now rescheduled to Saturday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Latest there from Huskers.com. We will take a break. We'll dive right back in to some softball talk right around the corner as we recap a very nice first season for head coach Tommy Downs guiding USF Cougar softball. The coach will join us next to talk about the season that was, honoring the seniors and lifting that bar up. Also some returners, recruiting philosophy, and more. USF softball, topic of conversation coming up next on this Friday, May 22nd edition of Overtime.
Pod.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Just getting going on this Friday, May 22nd edition of Overtime. Welcome back into the show. If you ever miss any of the program, podcast links available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. We're talking USF Cougar softball now. Head coach Tommy Jones just wrapped up year number one, guiding the program to a 28-28 finish. Coach is joining us on the ESPN hotline right now. Coach, welcome into the show. How you doing this week?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good, hanging in there. It's a rainy, nasty, yucky day, but it's a fun time of year as we conclude the softball season, baseball season before too long. Take us through your thoughts and observations, Coach. 1 year down as the leading man here for USF Cougars softball, 28-28 the final record. What are some big takeaways for you in the program this season?
Yeah, We started out this year with having some goals, and, you know, obviously the first one was to graduate all of our seniors, which we did. You know, the other one was to sweep Augie, which we did. And the other one was to, you know, go to playoffs and get through that. So, you know, we definitely got there, you know, didn't go as far as we wanted, but I think hitting our goals and kind of pushing that forward in the future is super important to us. And again, inheriting this team, it's been an awesome, change of culture and a change of just wanting to, you know, fight through adversity. And, you know, again, like I said, had a good senior class. You know, I had seven seniors that had a lot of time into the games. Also, we started, you know, four freshmen. I mean, that's not always, you know, easy to do, especially in, you know, pivotal situations and, you know, in positions. I mean, up the middle is tough, you know. So, again, really proud of what we've done, what we've accomplished in a small time. You know, we've also played some top 25 teams, beat a few of them. So, again, really good season open. You'll look at it all. I mean, we broke 14 school records. So I'm happy. Do I want more? Absolutely. So again, that's kind of what I think of the season, you know, looking forward into the future here.
Seven total seniors. That's a pretty darn big class, especially a class in which that'll be important and impactful for you, Coach. Year number one on the job. Highlight either all of them or a few of them, because they certainly had a pretty big impact this year for you.
Yeah. You know, I can't talk enough about, our pitching staff, you know, Maddie and Lauren and Ava. I think they've came in and they've done a lot of great things. You know, obviously their stats, you know, jumped really good for them, on the positive side this year. And I think they've definitely fought in some big games and done a lot of great things for us. They kept us in games. So again, to have that was huge, you know, to have, Megan, our leadoff slapper senior, she was just a Jacobson. She was a stud. I mean, she got the job done. I mean, she handled a lot of tough situations for us, was crazy on the bases. You know, again, I hats off to her, on top of that, just having other outfielders that have done well, you know, Kira, you know, Knutson, I mean, just a stellar first baseman, you know, had 200 hits, broke her own, you know, record for herself. I mean, I can't talk enough about these guys. They've just done a lot of cool things in a very short time. And again, having a few different coaches over their 4 years, I'm sure is difficult, right? And again, for them to understand a new way of looking at things, a culture, again, for them to do all that their last year, super proud of them. Super proud of them.
USF Cougars softball, the topic of conversation now, hour number one on a Friday edition of Overtime. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Our guest is head coach Tommy Downs. Coach, of course, you're done with the season now, 28-28, but foundationally and broad takeaways year one, what did you really like from a 1,000-foot view of the program this year? And what would you like to see next year as you take your leap into year number two?
Yeah, I think just having an understanding of our mindset that we're going to be the aggressor, that, you know, like I've been saying all year, you know, we're the chihuahua, we're the ankle biter. We're just going to keep coming at you. We're not going to stop. You know, that's been our mentality that we're trying to get our players to understand. And I think that it's paid off. I think they're buying in. I, you know, people want to be out there and they want to get better. And that's the cool thing is when you're turning over a program that they bounce that quickly, right, without making a bunch of changes. So for me, I think that's just been the overall, wow, these guys want to get better. They want to do more. They want to compete, you know, not just in the classroom, but on the field, in the weight room. Those things are super huge, man. We talk about that stuff all day. You know, but again, going to be tough this fall. You know, I'm bringing in 14 new faces, some transfers with that. You know, I think that I pride myself on the recruiting piece from the last three universities I've been at, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the competition. I'm excited for the level to jump. I'm excited for people to support each other and their successes, not their failures, because, again, this sport's very negative, and I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to build this culture of saying, listen, we're going to be positive no matter what, even though it's super tough. So, again, that's kind of how and what I see. You know, I'm excited to see the competition of what we're bringing. I mean, this will be the first year that I've seen the last couple of years where there's been a lot of depth everywhere. Like, we're not shallow anywhere. And I'm really excited about that. You know, pitching is going to be, well, I have staff now, you know, catching everything. I mean, our middles, I mean, this last year we had maybe one or two shortstops could technically play there. And again, for us to have more depth now and everywhere, wow, I'm just excited to see this.
Coach Tommy Downs of USF Cougar Softball is our guest here on a Friday edition of Overtime. Coach, I think he kind of alluded to it there. The aggressiveness on the diamond kind of leads into the aggressiveness of building this roster. Take me through you personally, your staff's overall philosophy regarding the transfer portal and recruiting in general. How local do you want to be? How regional do you want to be? And how do you guys go about getting some talent here to Sioux Falls and the Cougar program, some additional talent?
Yeah. Well, first off, you know, we have 11 different incomings mm-hmm. from, you know, we have 11 different states out of 13 incomings. So to me, that's pretty diverse in mm-hmm. just area, right? I mean, we're all over the place. And I like that. Again, like I said, I pride myself on the recruiting piece, looking for pieces that we need to make this team better. So again, for us to go out there and to bring that in is, I think that's a pretty cool thing in itself, just because, again, we're not just local, we're all over the country. I mean, literally all corners of the country we're in. So excited about that piece, because again, being diverse, I think, is a big deal. You know, different walks of life, different styles, and bring that all into one. I'm excited to see that piece come together. You know, for just our coaching staff and what we're trying to do here and build with, you know, the transfer portal. I mean, I could talk about a transfer portal all day long. It's pretty crazy. Like, I don't even know where to start about this. Now they have this new window for the D1s, and it's making things very difficult. And I don't think people understand how tough it's going to be to recruit transfers in a manner like this, because now they're windowing for the D1s. D2s are kind of open. You know, nobody even talks about the JUCO kids or the NEI kids that are still out there looking too. I mean, it's pretty nutty. You know, and from what I've noticed this last year, it's recruiting piece is really fast now. I mean, people think they have time and they really don't. It goes quick. So, you know, I'm not in love with the portal, but I think it's necessary. I mean, I think everybody that's trying to get better is trying to bring players in that are already proven, at least at the collegiate level, you know, and that have something they can just go and plug and play almost, versus bringing in freshmen that obviously you're building. And again, not all are that way, but that's just how the world works, you know. And I think statistically they're already proven that with the portal and what it's been, there's going to be less and less high school kids going to the next level. And that's crazy. It's sad kind of in a way. So again, I always tell people this process goes quick, and you know, I enjoy it. Thank God, as a coach, I spend a lot of time in the recruiting piece, because I want to bring in people that fit us. I want to bring in high character kids. I want people to come in here and go, no matter what, I'm down by 9 runs, I'm not going to give up. And I can see it in their eyes. That's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm trying to build in this program.
Got to be fired up for the future of USF Cougar softball. Head coach Tommy Downs officially entering year number 2, and a big offseason ahead for the Cougars. Coach, before we cut you loose, man, what else is on the offseason agenda? Do you have any time off or vacation or golf plans? How are you going to fill up your free time if you have any, Coach?
Absolutely. I'm actually currently back home in Arizona, spending some time with family. You know, that's definitely important. My brother's been really sick with cancer, so I've been trying to spend some time with him and just, you know, try to be a part of my family and have that time, because people don't realize coaches, they're hours. There is no off time. I mean, I'm on my phone or on emails or you know, out work, and it never ends. So to have a quick, brief week or two to do that and collect my mind, just like the players, I mean, we all need the same thing, right? But believe it or not, I'm out here also recruiting. So I'm off, but I'm not off, you know? I mean, and that's important to me. Again, I love this piece. It's more of a hobby to me, the recruiting side, and I love it. So for me to be back home and then look at some legit players on the West Coast, I think it's important. And again, it's a win-win for me. It's like a twofer, right? So pretty excited about that.
Hey, you got to stay busy, multitasking at its finest. USF Cougars softball head coach Tommy Downs, there's your season recap. Very nice first season in town, 28-28 the record. Coach, have a great offseason. All the best to you and the family, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, much appreciated. You guys have a good one.
Oh, we absolutely will. That's USF Cougars softball head coach Tommy Downs. And I got to tell you what here. We talk with coaches all the time, wrapping up seasons, talking about goals, returners, seniors, etc. I'm fired up after that conversation, hearing about the philosophy, the aggressiveness, not just about being a chihuahua out there on the diamond. You got to love that. But the aggressiveness and the open book nature of, we're going to go after these players regionally, statewide. It really, he said, we got a lot of different players from a lot of different states coming in. They're going for it. USF Cougars softball. And that is a very exciting future of that program right here, centered up in the city of Sioux Falls. Head coach Tommy Downs, then when we come back, NBA, NHL, a latest look at the odds after a massive upset last night, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NHL. It has been the underdog so far reigning supreme in the conference finals. Vegas up 1-0 on Colorado. Montreal, the Canadiens, up on the Hurricanes of Raleigh, North Carolina, 6-2 last night. We'll talk NBA, NHL, so much more coming up next on this Friday, May 22nd edition of Overtime, right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you on this week-ending Friday, May 22nd edition of Overtime. We just got done talking USF Cougars softball. A nice first year for head coach Tommy Downs. But make no mistake about it, that coach is absolutely hungry for more. Laid out some goals that they met, some goals that they'd like to hit next year. The aggressive nature in the portal says if you don't use it, you're going to fall behind. USF softball head coach Tommy Downs moments ago. You can listen back to this hour via podcast at the conclusion of this hour, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, or wherever you get your podcast. The Montreal Canadiens were not favored by a long shot last night, but they never flinched in winning two game sevens on the road to reach the Eastern Conference Finals. Opening on the road again in Raleigh was no different last night, even against a well-rested top seed that had yet to lose in the postseason. Montreal pounced for four first-period goals on the slow-starting Canes, coming off the longest postseason break in more than a century, and beat the Hurricanes 6-2. Last night, we knew we could come in here and try to get off to a good start in the series. Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki said after a three-assist night, we're happy with the result, but there's definitely going to be better than they were tonight. Certainly, they will. Game two coming up Saturday night. Canes were the first team to sweep their first two playoff rounds since the NHL went to a best-of-seven series format in all four rounds in 1987. But that led to a lengthy break of 11 days. Anybody that underplays or downplays the effect of rust in the National Football League, in the NHL, in the NBA, after some time on the shelf for a first-round bye, you clearly don't pay attention, because that is a real factor, and that might be what we saw last night in Raleigh in a stunning upset in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tonight on ESPN, 7 o'clock Central start time from Denver. Colorado a minus 200 favorite on the puck line. And Saturday's Game 2 in the East, Montreal a dog again. Carolina a more robust favorite than they were in Game 1, minus 205 right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's get into Your NBA talk of the day, Josh Hart's scrunched up face told it all. Last night, the Cavaliers left him open for all of Game 1 and repeated the same strategy in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals to try and tie the series and put pressure on the favored Knicks. The Cavs weren't going to allow Jalen Brunson or New York to do it on their own terms, leaving Hart open. And hoping he would get inside his own head seemed like the right strategy, and for one half, it was. Hart found the sweet spot, dictated the action in the third quarter, keying an 18-0 scoring run as the Knicks broke open to a close game and won decisively 109-93 to take a thrilling and stranglehold advantage 2-0 with the series heading to Cleveland this weekend. That being said, series not over. Nobody is one on the road just yet, but you get the feeling the Knicks are the superior team, the more confident bunch right now, the more diverse bunch in terms of scoring the basketball, and of course, don't have to deal with the up-and-down nature of James Harden in the postseason. Josh Hart, the big reason why the Knicks are now up 2-0 in that series. A New York favored, actually a slight underdog in Game 3 from Cleveland on Saturday. 2.5 the spread there. And tonight, Game number 3 between OKC and San Antonio from San Antonio. 1.5 the number in favor of the Spurs. Oklahoma City Thunder star winger Jalen Williams will be evaluated day-to-day, game-to-game with a left hamstring injury that is continuing to stick around. According to ESPN, Shams Charania, Williams will undergo treatment and return based on how he feels recovering from the second injury to the same hamstring in under a month. Williams traveled to the Thunder with the Thunder to San Antonio yesterday afternoon, expected to be listed as questionable for tonight's Game 3. Williams, whose season has been marred by injuries, played just 7 minutes before exiting in the Thunder's Game 2 win over the Spurs. It's crazy to say this, but it also has a lot to do with the Spurs' notable injuries. They've got De'Aaron Fox as well as Dylan Harper potentially on the shelf. OKC will be fine without Jalen Williams, but you don't want to have this be a situation where he comes back too soon and is on the shelf the rest of the year. You would love to have him come back and stay back, so we'll see about a problematic hamstring injury moving forward for Oklahoma City Thunder star Jalen Williams. Again, the latest odds there, OKC favored an underdog by 1.5 points tonight on the road in San Antonio. And your overall futures odds in the NBA, OKC still your favorite, -105, San Antonio +210, the Knicks +370, and the Cavaliers down, probably out, but not yet out, +4,000 right now for the NBA Finals victory. Now, lastly here, a little bit more of a odds roundup here on this Friday edition of Overtime. College World Series, baseball, UCLA, your odds on favorite with Georgia Tech. Tied atop the top of the mountain, +600 right now. North Carolina +900, Mississippi State +950, Texas there as well. Georgia at 6th at +1,000. A&M, Auburn, West Virginia, Florida State, your top 10. And yes, there's a heavy lean towards the South in the sport of baseball. There pretty much always has been. So if you're looking for off the beaten path, out West teams, USC comes in about the 13th best odds right now. Other area teams or non-Southeastern Conference ACC squads, you got Nebraska and Kansas. Also in the bargain bin, mid-20s odds right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. There is a lot of news to get to out of the National Football League, so we'll touch on that right now while we have a moment before we get into your ReliaBank headlines of the day and your opportunity to beat up your neighbor in the High Noon Showdown for a prize pack, which today includes Minnesota Twins tickets. Let's talk about Sam Darnold. He commented about the Vikings' decision to move off of him just last offseason. Pro Football Talk on the news, saying it's easier to take the high road when you're sitting on top of the mountain. Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold, who of course won the Super Bowl in his first year with the Seahawks, has no hard feelings about Minnesota's decision to move on after he guided the team to a 14-3 season as a starter 2 years ago. "I totally understand the move to go with the younger quarterback on a rookie deal and signing those veteran players that you can maybe pay a little bit more while he's on his rookie deal, especially if you believe in him," Darnold said in a recent appearance on the San Clemente podcast. "Yeah, the business side of it, I totally understand. And like, I think JJ is a good player. I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. I truly believe that." And you know, for them to see that and be like, "All right, well, you got to know Sam, that was a great year, but the business part of it, you know, I totally understand." That's what Sam Darnold had to say And if you look back upon it, at face value, it's what the heck are the Vikings doing? But Minnesota planned ahead. They made the bed for a quarterback transition. Sam Darnold was signed as a stopgap, one-year, $10 million dude. And yes, he exceeded expectations. Did the team win a playoff game for it? No. Did Sam Darnold look great at the very end of the season? No, he did not. So I still think retrospectively, the national media talking heads will say, I can't believe the Vikings made that move. But us here locally, even the most staunch of Viking haters, yours truly included, will say, you know, this wasn't a tremendously poor decision at the time, but now that the Seahawks go and have Sam Darnold play pretty well, win the whole darn thing, credit to the defense and running game as well around Darnold, it looks a lot worse than it was at the time. But then now this offseason, after you go to McCarthy, ride the wave of his up and down nature on the football field, ride the wave of his injury prone nature, and then they signed Kyler Murray to come in, it's a little bit of a mess in Minnesota. But that being said, there are a lot of people, including Dustin Baker yesterday on this show, that think the Vikings are going to achieve double-digit wins coming up next year. For me, personally, I think the Vikings are the third or fourth best team in a very competitive NFC North. They could be a playoff team. I had them chalked up yesterday initially at 9-8. Wouldn't surprise me if they're 8-9. It pretty much gave them every game that was winnable on their schedule. I put a W next to it. And the tough games, the middle of the season, brutal for Minnesota. But again, Sam Darnold saying all the right things, but to the credit of Pro Football Talk there, he's not wrong. Easier to take the high road when you're sitting on top of the mountain, which, of course, Sam Darnold very much is right now. Sean Mannion, former Viking quarterback, former Packer quarterback coach, took over a high-profile job this offseason when he was named the offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you're keeping score at home, you know the Eagles' OC job. You're either amazing and get a head coaching job a year after or 2 years after taking that job, or you get run out of town and everybody blames you for everything. The Eagles offense failed to recapture the heights of their Super Bowl run, and there were weekly reports about the dysfunction in the locker room behind the scenes. Pro Football Talk on the news as well. Sean Mannion talking about Jalen Hurts, the quarterback in Philly, saying Jalen's been awesome. I really think he can do anything we ask of him. He's accurate, great athlete, attacks the fundamentals. That's what's really been fun to watch these last 2 weeks of phase two, always wanting more things to work on, wanting more things regarding fundamentals, timing, understanding the scheme. He's hungry for more. Those are the guys that are really fun to work with in terms of skill set. He's got the arm strength, accuracy, obviously a tremendous athlete, great process in the meetings, always asks really thoughtful, provoking questions, detailed, and attacks the fundamentals. And of course, this is not rare. Anytime anybody takes a job or transitions teams, it's all sunshine, rainbows, and roses in the new spot. Sean Mannion talking up Jalen Hurts. We know what he is. He's really darn solid. Some would say really close to being elite. I had him as my fifth best quarterback in the NFL to start last season after winning the Super Bowl. Is he outside my top 10? I haven't drawn it up yet. He's probably right around there. Took a little bit of a regression last year. Still took care of the football pretty well. But that dysfunction behind the scenes in Philly is not new. Even their Super Bowl season, they still felt like a little, I don't know what's going on. And they've been up and down and up and down with Sirianni as the head coach. And if you're doing your math at home, last year a down year, which means this year might be sunshine, rainbows, and roses in Philadelphia. Lastly here, I am not buying the Cincinnati Bengals. You can go ahead and chalk it up. If I say anything to the contrary later on this offseason, you are welcome to dial me up and say, Bert, you are a hypocrite. 605-362-3776, the number to dial always to wax and wane with your opinion on the show. But Cincinnati is getting a lot of talk about what they did defensively, adding Dexter Lawrence, hopefully for a big jump for Shamar Stewart on that defensive line, on the pass rush unit. They added other guys to that unit as well. But I'm not buying Cincy because we've been there, done that, and seen that so far in the career of Joe Burrow with Zach Taylor as coach. Slow starts. I'm talking 0-3, 0-4, 1-2, 1-4, etc. with Cincinnati. They are always the horse that falls over out of the gate. Or maybe it's the jockey that's drinking out of the water bottle, gates open, and say, oh, dang it, got to get going here. Cincinnati might not have a slow start this year, but I think the competition, as I outlined yesterday in the AFC, is full of teams that are as good as or better than Cincinnati right now. Did this exercise yesterday. Let's let it rip again. Buffalo, better than Cincy. Indy is a peer. Denver, better than Cincy. Houston, a peer or maybe better. Baltimore in their division, I think is better than Cincinnati today. Pittsburgh is a peer right now. You could be low on them. You could think they'll regress down to 8 wins. But I think the ceiling and floor for Pittsburgh football, if Rodgers stays healthy, is pretty darn thin. I would say it's going to be 7 to 11 wins for the Steelers this year, more likely 9 or 10. So Pittsburgh right there. Kansas City is a peer, if not better, higher ceiling than Cincinnati. The New England Patriots are better. Jacksonville Jaguars are a peer. Chargers are a peer. And that's it for now in the AFC. But that is a lot of teams that I would trust either at the same level or more than the Cincinnati Bengals. That being said, worth noting on their schedule, it's cupcake. After 3 straight years with no playoff appearances, the pressure is on Cincy this year. Quarterback Joe Burrow's assessment of the improvements the team has made since a disappointing 6-11 finish last year will only increase the expectations, but making the bar even higher now for Cincinnati. If you would like to buy in, get your ears perked up. The Bengals are favored in 15 of their 17 regular season games as the spreads currently stand. There is a lot of info we'll have before all of these games take place, but right now on paper, Cincinnati favored in 15 games. My Green Bay Packers are favored in 13 of their games. Does it mean they're going to win 15 and 13? No, heck no. It doesn't mean that. Every single week we're going to have people in, people out, quarterback coming off a bad game, quarterback coming off a great game that'll influence these spreads. But right now, Cincinnati favored in 15 of 17 regular season games. I know that's shocking because I would probably put Cincy at a right around the Steelers. 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 victories this year for Joe Burrow and Cincinnati. And make no mistake about it, I'm not a Bengals hater. I really like Joe Burrow. Probably my favorite non-Jordan Love quarterback in the NFL right there with Josh Allen right now. I want them to win. I just know better. Over the last 3, 4, 5 years, I know better than to say Bengals in the playoffs, Bengals a deep run, they'll get the job done. Joe Burrow will reach the mountaintop here and prove he's the best quarterback in the league. I just know better with Cincinnati, so I am not buying them this season. That is the latest and greatest from the National Football League. When we come back, it's time to punch your neighbor in the nose and get rewarded for it. Over the air, of course, 605-362-3776. I got a 4-pack of Twins tickets for a Friday night game coming up pretty darn soon. I'll get you those tickets and more if you can beat up your neighbor on the ESPN hotline. Friday, June the 5th, the Royals will be in town at Target Field, and I got section 107, row 13, seats 5, 6, 7, and 8. Take your name on it. Caller 1, caller 2, 605-362-3776. Coming up next, it's the High Noon Showdown brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. That's next on Overtime.